Okay, good morning, everybody. A guten chodesh to everybody. Should we be concerned about coronavirus? It's a different discussion. I was on the phone last night for an hour with the Department of Health. We'll say, Mitzvah Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protect us. I don't think it's going to be necessarily more dangerous than the flu. We'll say, Yezus Hashem, let's learn. So today we have we're learning for a special for Shleim for Tema Bela Bas, Tema Rivka Bas Bela Yecht. Having a major surgery today, Mitzvah Hashem Shidara Fuhu Shlema. Which is special Mazel Tov to Benji and Chani upon Ellie's marriage yesterday. And we should say some Lashalom to Elliot for going to Eretz Yisrael, right?
Yeah.
You're going tonight, right? Okay. So let's get going. So I know I left off yesterday on the tape, which is a little bit earlier than when they left off in the Shia yesterday. So Chazu over 2-3 lines, Nishkeferla. So the Gemara yesterday on Chav Gimel Amid Beis was telling us Shmuel's din. Shmuel was saying that you're allowed to put your tefillin underneath your pillow, even though your wife is in the bed. And the Gemara said, we have a brisa that says that that's not true. So we said, Tiyufta, the Shmuel, Tiyufta. So the very last words on that line, turning into Chav Dalet Amid Alef, is my timer. How come we paskin over here like Shmuel? Tiyufta, the Shmuel, which is, again, a very unusual thing, but that occurs every now and then. So in any event, he says, Kol l'niturinu tfei odiv. Because protecting the tefillin takes precedence over the potential bizoyon to the tefillin. Here we're talking about there was no alternative. So therefore, Shmuel said, then you're allowed to put it underneath your pillow. Okay. Now here's where I left off yesterday, and I know you did already the next 2-3 lines, and we'll chaz it over. So v'heichim manechlu. So where should you put the tefillin? Underneath your pillow. How do you exactly do that? So Amar of Yirmiya, ben karla kesis. You don't put it directly underneath your head. You put it next to your head, next to the mattress, right nearby, but your head's not directly on top of it. Shlo kineged rosho, because that would be a real bizarre. You can still protect the tefillin properly by having them near your head. He says, "Beferish, you can leave it right underneath your head." That seems to contradict this. Gemara says, "No." The mapik lo lemorosha de kova levar. He says, "What you do is as follows." Morosha, we use sometimes like an expression for a pustule that you squeeze out. So in other words, you have some of it underneath the pillow, but the ikka part with the tefillin, that's not directly underneath the pillow. So you anchor it with the part that's not containing the tefillin underneath your pillow, and the tefillin like stick out in the bag that they're located in. You have to put it in some sort of a bag. So, and that is like a part that sticks out from underneath the hat over here. That's the terminology I use, the kiss shalahem. So the part of the kiss is underneath your head, and part of the kiss with the tefillin in it, that's not underneath your head. That's what you should do. Bar kapara, others in the Gemara, under the Shultas, it says this should be rapapa, tzira luhu b'chilasa, he would attach it somehow to the canopy that was over his bed, umapik l'morshay and levar. And again, he would therefore have it underneath him in part, but the major part with the tefillin wouldn't be directly under his head. Rosh Hashanah, the Rav Yidi, manachlu ar sharshifa, he would put it next to him on some sort of a stool. Rashi says over here, sharshifa is a safsul, a bench, or some sort of a chair next to his bed. And he would cover it up. Again, you should have it covered up. It shouldn't be just in one bag, it should be in two bags. So you need to keep it in a non-bizoyantic way, but you're allowed to keep it in your room. Even according to Shmuel, if your wife is in the room, you can have relations with your wife, as long as it's double covered over here, so then you're okay because of the need to protect the tefillin. I pointed out yesterday in the tape, and I'll say it again here now, that if you have an extra pair of tefillin, you can't do this. This is only with the one pair of tefillin that you have. A person has two pairs of tefillin, so you can't do this. You have to find a more permanent place then for your regular pair of tefillin, so your other pair of tefillin. But this is talking about with your regular pair of tefillin. This is the only one you have. You're in a hotel. There's only one room, and you have no other place to put it. So, again, you can put it. You should put it in. If you're in a hotel, you can put it in a closet. You can put it someplace else. You shouldn't leave it out. But when you have no choice, their hotels, their rooms were a little bit different than our hotels and our rooms, so they may have had zero other place to put it, so then you can do this again. The whole idea of l'niturenu is tvei od. If you have to protect the tefillin more than a bizoyon for the tefillin, if the two choices are there'll be a slight bizoyon for the tefillin, but they won't be protected, so then protecting the tefillin is more ikr. One time I was in front of Rava, Ramali, and he told me, follow me along, zil isili, go and bring for me my tefillin, isili tefillin, and they're in my bedroom. So Ashki Chasinu Ben Karla Kesis, and I went to get him his tefillin, and I found them exactly in this position, not directly underneath his pillow, but somewhat underneath his pillow, but the tefillin were not directly under the pillow. In other words, he didn't sleep directly on top of the tefillin. Shalom Kineged Rosho, as we just said. Then why did he tell him to get this? He said, Vahavi Yadin, he said, I realized the Yom Tvila Hava, that was the day, Rashi says it was the night that he went to the mikvah. Others explain in those days he used to go to mikvah during the day. So that's why it says Yom Tvila, and others want to suggest that he was following Takanas Ezra, and he went that morning to the mikvah, and he wanted him to know, Ulag Murun, to teach him halach lemaisa hu da'ava. He wanted me to know that this is not just the halach we learn in the base medrash. Yeah, you can keep it there, but no one really does that. No, he wanted to teach you halach lemaisa, that when you have no choice, your tefillin are going to become potentially stolen or damaged by something, and the only way to protect them is to put them in your room and to keep them near your bed, somewhat under your bed, but mostly not under your pillow. So then that is the halach lemaisa, and you learn by shimush by a Rebbe more than you do from sitting in the shir in the base medrash. You see what the Rebbe actually does, and that's why you wanted the dafka to show him over here that this is the halach lemaisa. By me, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Nechunya, Rabbi Yehuda, he asked the following shayla. Shnayim shiyashenim b'mita achas. Two people were in the same bed. Now, they're not wearing necessarily clothing over here. Ma'ush zeh yachzir ponu v'yikari kriyashma, v'zeh yachzir ponu v'yikari shmiya. They have to say kriyashma. So they're in bed. So they're going to be seeing an erva if they're not properly clothed. So, but they have to say Kriyat Shema. Do they have to get out of bed? It was freezing cold. As we'll see in some examples tomorrow, it was so cold they had to stay underneath the cover. So obviously the answer is, you should have said Kriyat Shema when you're dressed and everything. But here they're in bed, and now they're in a position where if they face each other, there's going to be Ro'es Erva. So can they turn around and go and face the other way, and their backs will be towards each other? Can you say Kriyat Shema in this fashion? That was the question that he asked. So Amalei, so he responded to him, and he said, yes, absolutely. Shmuel said, in this situation, this is different than what Shmuel said before with the tefillin. He said, you can have the tefillin there, even though your wife is in bed with you. He says, hey, you can even say Kriyat Shema facing away from your wife, and you're facing in that direction, she's facing in this direction, your backs are to each other, and that's Heter Gomer. Now bring down, don't you have to be on your sides? And say, yeah, we're not dealing over here that he's lying flat in either way. He's turned totally towards the side. So this is an acceptable position. We learned earlier to say Kriyat Shema. It should be, ideally, you should be in a more b'chavadika position, but this is a b'di'evid. You don't have a choice.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Which Shema are we talking about? Shema Shalabdis or Shema Shalbita?
So remember, we had earlier Homachlokes, the very first daf, whether the Shema and Shul you were Yotze with that. So Rashi brought down, and this is Halach Lemaisa. People suggest you say all three parashas of Kriyat Shema when you go to sleep at night, because that's really when you're Yotze with the Shema. So let's assume that this is the Shema that they're being Yotze with, not just for Shmira purposes, but in Stama, the same thing would apply, even if it's just for Shmira purposes. Oh, would you allow to say it in this situation? So it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's a very good idea to get into the habit every night to not just say one paragraph of Shema as part of Kriyat Shema Lamita, which is what most of the benchers have, but say all three parashas. This way, if you ever davened early, so then you'll guarantee, you'll remind yourself that every night you'll say all three parashas of Kriyat Shema. And sometimes a person may be able to say this sheet of Tzeisah Kofavim, not that sheet of Tzeisah Kofavim. Right, we daven Friday night. So we don't daven 72, 90 minutes after the Shkia. We daven a certain amount of time after the Shkia when we daven Friday night. Most places, right? So you yotzei some sheet is a Kriyat Shema, but you're not yotzei other sheet is a Kriyat Shema. So you really should say over all three parashas of Kriyat Shema to be yotzei all the sheetas. But if you don't have the habit of doing that every night at 90 minutes, 72 minutes, you yotzei every sheetah, you're going to forget. So therefore, the eitz is brought down. The person say all three parashas of Kriyat Shema every night. This way, you'll never forget. That's the best eitz. It's a very practical halacha l'maisa suggestion. Okay. Maskevel Rav Yosef, that are you telling me Shmuel over here, afilu ishto imo, even if your wife was with you, that implies anybody else, avada, guy sleeping with his brother in bed, right? The kids growing up, we didn't have our own room when we were growing up, the whole family, all the kids, we slept in one room, right? So they didn't, but we were wealthy, we each had our own bed, right? In those days, they didn't always have their own bed. So they slept in a bed together. So one brother turns this way, one brother turns that way. And he says, afilu ishto imo, and even if it's your wife, where there's a concern that you'll have relations with her, and that libo ro'es erva, you're gonna see all sorts of hiruhurim you might have. Nevertheless, that's okay as long as you turn away. So it's afilu ishto imo. That's what Shmuel says. So Masim Rav Yosef says, wait a second, ishto v'lom bayachar. No, you're telling me ishto, and certainly everybody else, adirabe. No, ishto kigufo. Acher, love kigufo. He says, no, a wife is unique. Only your wife you'd be allowed to do this, but not somebody else. So Rav Yosef disagrees with Shmuel's din. Shmuel's din was saying, even if your wife is there, and he says, only if your wife is there. That's the machlokes, Shmuel or Rav Yosef. So Mesa, we have a brisa that seems to support Rav Yosef. Shnayim, shiyushen b'mita achas, if you have two people in the same bed, this person turns to this, to the right, the Korah, and he reads Shema. And he turns to the left, and reads Shema, they backs it to each other. Now, that's one brisa. So says you're allowed to, two people. And another brisa says, Hayoshe b'mita. And here it says, Ubanov uvnei beso bitzido. And he has his family with him in that bed. And this, according to some, means his wife is included over here in bnei beso. Hareze lohi kari kriyashma, elim kenoi satalis masekis b'neim. Unless there's some sort of a mechitza between them. You can't rely upon the fact that you just turned away from each other. And if the children are very young, then it's mutter. So the first brisa says you're allowed to read, and the second brisa says you're not allowed to read. So what's going on over here? So Bishlam Rav Yosef lo kasha ha bi ishto ha bi acher. So Rav Yosef has no problem over here. He says ubnei beiso over here doesn't include your wife. Okay, so I think I mentioned before that it does include your wife. He says no, bnei beiso doesn't include your wife, and the first brisa which said you and someone else in the bed is referring to your wife. So the two brises are in a contradiction. One says your wife, only your wife, and the other one is with other people, no. So that's exactly Rav Yosef Shita. The wife is unique, ishto kigufo, so that's a special dispensation that you're allowed to. But nobody else. So the two brises fit in well with his Shita. Elul Shmuel, Kasha Shmuel includes in Bnei Beso his wife, so how does he have two brises? One says yes, one says no. They contradict each other. Ergo, Shmuel must be wrong. So I'm a Shmuel would answer, he says no. Shmuel said to Rav Yosef, I'm a Shmuel to Rav Yosef, me nicha, and you got no problems with this brisa? Because there's another brisa, but Tanya, hayoshein b'mita, and then we delete the words over here, ubanov. The Bach says over here that those words are not supposed to be there. Ubnei beso, it's just ubnei beso b'mita. So lo yikari kriyashma, elim kein hoysa taliso mavsekes b'neyam. Now this over here is a problem. So you have over here a problem as well. It says over here, Bnei Beiso, the Ishto Bechal Beiso. Here, this Brisa includes Ishto in Bnei Beiso. So, you have one Brisa that says, not your wife, and one Brisa says, yes, your wife. So, what's going on over here? So, you got a problem also. Ella, what are you going to say? Ella, Maisel Kameimar, Ishto, Rav Yosef Tanoi. There's a Machlokis Tanoim about this. So, you hold that one opinion is it's Ishto only, and the other one says, no, Ishto not. Okay, so you're already saying there's a machlokes tanoim over here. So me too. I also say there's a machlokes tanoim. I also say there's a machlokes tanoim. One says ishto, afilu ishto. And one says no, nobody. So therefore, just like you explained that it's a machlokes tanoim, I also say it's a machlokes tanoim. We're just talking about what the difference in the machlokes tanoim is, but we all agree that there's a machlokes tanoim over here as to whether you can or not. Now let's go back and look at that a little bit more closely. Omar, Zemach, Zipon, and Vigori Kriyashma, you're allowed to turn over here, one guy to the right and one guy to the left, they each face their backs to each other. And the Gemara is going to say, now this is a delicate Gemara that we're going through over here, and the Gemara is not afraid to discuss anything. I always say, I heard from my Rebbe, I said this many times, that a person can be judged on his Yirah Shamayim on what he does when nobody's around. I.e., when he's in the bathroom, when he's in the privacy of his bedroom with his wife. So that's how you tell if the person Yirah Shamayim. So we're not afraid to discuss in halacha how you go to the bathroom, what you do in the bathroom, how you have relations with your wife, what the proper dinim and rules about everything, because everything is holiness. There's nothing here that's mundane. Everything is kedusha. So therefore, there's some delicate subjects over here, and we'll go through this gemara. Amamar, zemach zipon v'kori kriyashma, va'ika akvos, what about your behind? Your tush, so that's also considered, isn't that something that's inappropriate? So you're going to be touching tushes to each other, and isn't that a problem? So, Messiah Rav Huna, this goes in accord with Rav Huna said. Rav Huna, Agvos, ain't b'mishum erva. The Agvos don't have the status of erva. So you're not allowed to have touching an erva and say kriyashma. So even though you may be touching behinds to each other, so that's not considered erva. And therefore, b'shasat chak, under these extenuating circumstances, you can't get dressed, you can't say shema properly, so then this would be acceptable. What it says, leimu b'saya le'i Rav Huna. Let us say this is right to what Rav Huna said. And this is a din in terms of making a bracha. When you take off trumas and maisus, we're not familiar with this, unfortunately, here in Chutz Laaretz. So we may have to show to fulfill these din in Eretz Yisrael, Meir Yomeinu. So the person who takes off trumas and maisus has to make a bracha. So, ha'isha yosheves v'kotzu lo chalosu. So here, even women today, that we do have the Sichus Laretz, that we make a bracha on challah. If you bake a 5-pound dose, everybody's masking that you make a bracha. When you take off the challah, one of the matnos kahuna over here, and you have to make a bracha. So you have to make a bracha when you're doing certain mitzvos over here. So she's taking off the challah from her dough, so she has to do this. Now what happens, don't ask me why, but she was naked when she was doing this over here. Again, they didn't have a lot of clothing. We have to put ourselves in their time. They may have one garment of clothing. So when that garment of clothing is being washed, they didn't have anything to walk around. They couldn't say, I'll put on my fancy bathrobe. I'll put on my 700th other garment. They had one garment. When it was being washed, the Gemara talks about, what do they do? So she's not sitting there idle. She's washing one garment, and the other, she's cooking and baking and doing all sorts of other stuff. Now she has to make a bracha. So what should she do in this situation? So she's aruma, she's naked. So she's allowed to go make the bracha. Yosheves, sit down and make the bracha. Now on the mafarshim, bring down, you're normally supposed to stand up when you make these brichos over here. But in this situation where she doesn't have a choice, she's allowed to sit down. So she's sitting down. So how can she make a bracha? She's naked. So the Gemara says, no, because her erva is covered up by sitting down on the ground. I'm a low each, but a man in the same situation because of the physical anatomy, so he would be sticking out. So therefore, he would be having open his erva, whereas the woman, she can cover up her erva by just sitting on the ground. So therefore, we see that this is the raya, the agvos, the behind, which would be off the ground, so that's not considered an erva. It's only her panea tachtonim, her erva area, so oso makom, that's covered up by sitting down on the ground, whereas a man, it's not. So therefore, this is a raya, this is not considered, the agvos, the behind, is not considered an erva, because that would be sticking out. So the Gemara says, no, you can't bring me a raya from there. No, she had like a little depression that she was sitting in the ground. So her behind is also covered up by the ground, and that's why she's allowed to do this. But you can't bring me a raya that the agvos aren't a erva. It doesn't prove a raya that they are, but it doesn't prove a raya that they aren't. I'm a married, try again. So now we go back and discuss. You said young children is not considered an erva. In other words, their erva is not considered an erva. So, at kama, until what age is a young child not considered a young child? That his erva is considered an erva. So there's two ways of looking at it. I'm a rechista. Tinok is by shalul shanim. And the yom echad, v'tinok, ben tes, shanim, the yom echad. To the age of bia. To the age that their bia is considered bia. So we learned this in Gemara Nida many times in other Gemaras. So a girl at the age of 3 and 1 day, so then she's considered royal bia. And therefore her bia, if somebody were to assault her, somebody were to commit an act of relations, or that's considered a formal act of relations. Before that, it's considered like poker in the eye. It's not Rahman al-Litzlan saying that this is mutter in any way, Rahman al-Litzlan. But what it's saying is it's not considered an act of bia, it's considered an act of assault. But before the age of 3 and 1 day, her body is not physically mature to call that bia, it's called an assault. Boy, the same halacha applies, but it's 9 years and 1 day. Boys and girls mature differently. So therefore, until that age, it's not considered an erva. That's why, because it's not royal bia. Others say, no, ikad diamre, it has to do with, there's a desire for bia. Normally, you don't have a desire for a young child. There are people that are pedophiles, the people that are crazy. But we're talking about a normal person. So the desire is when a boy and a girl begins to form their adult bodies. So tinok is bas yudal shonav yomecho, v'tinok ben shtemes shonav yomecho. So when they reach a certain level of physical maturity, and this is based upon the pasuk from Yechezkel, idividi akdei shadai nichonu v'sorech tzimech. When you reach a physical maturity, so then there becomes the normal appearance of an adult male or female. So then there's the normal desires, and at that point it's considered erva. Before that, it's not considered erva. Okay. Amar Rav Kahana l'Ravashi, Hasam Amar Rava, Afal Gadda Tiyufta D'Shmuel Hilchos HaGavah. Say, at the very, very beginning of the year, the end of yesterday's year, we said that even though there's a brisa of the Shlugs of Shmuel, we paskin like Shmuel. So here Shmuel also said, with your wife as well. So the Shmuel Hocha, my, though we also say that we paskin like Shmuel over here. So he says, Amalei, Otu Kulu B'chodah Machto Machsinuwa. Because we paskin like Shmuel in one place, we paskin like Shmuel in every other place as well. Even though they're Tanoim against Shmuel. So we explained that there are Tanoim like Shmuel as well, even though he was slogged up by the Brisa. So one could argue that their Brisa is like in support of Shmuel as well. So to we, even though there's a Brisa against Shmuel, Lavdavka, that we pass like the Brisa against Shmuel, we could pass like the Brisa for Shmuel. But Lavdavka, it's two different in Yanim. And therefore, Elahecha the Itmar, Behecha the Lo Itmar, where the halacha was accepted like Shmuel, the halacha is like Shmuel. Where it wasn't accepted like Shmuel, we don't say, well, we accepted Shmuel's halacha yesterday, so we can accept Shmuel's halacha today. That's not the way it works. If you have pubic hair that sticks out of the garment, so is that considered erva or not? So obviously the area of the erva, it's from the area of the erva, but it's not the erva itself. So is this considered or is this not considered erva? So korolei, sar. He said, yeah, sar, nothing. Like Rashi said, the way klomar, mabekach. No, the sar itself doesn't have the status of erva. So if there were to be somebody saying Kriya Shema, again, I don't know what the circumstances here are, but whatever they were, if you were just to see here, that wouldn't negate your ability to go and say Kriya Shema. Amar Yitzchak, now we go through a whole number of things that are there. You could spend years discussing every line here in the Gemara. We're going to rush through it in 3 minutes. So again, we're introducing very, very, very important halachic concepts over here, and that's the great credit of Daf Yomi. You familiarize yourself with every one of these things. The less great advantage of the Daf Yomi is that you don't get to spend the time discussing them. So we're going to discuss over here various aspects of a woman's body as to whether they're considered erev or not. This has to deal with tremendous halachic lemaisa ramifications. Arvi Yitzchak, tefach b'yisherva, that the skin of a woman that's normally covered up, if it's uncovered, tefach b'isha erva. So here, it is considered an erva if you have a tefach of an isha that's covered up. Many say this is talking about an eshes ish. Lemai, what are we talking about over here? Ilei mo li yistaku lulei ba. If you're saying you're not allowed to look at it, it has to be a tefach. Someone says, that's not true. V'am Rav Sheish says, lo mamona kosev takshishish mechutzim takshishish mefnim. By midyan, we captured all the jewelry from the women. So all the jewelry, the ones that are more of a personal nature, they used to have chastity belts, as we'll see, and they used to have all sorts of jewelry that they would wear in a way that wasn't visible to everybody else. And then they had jewelry, like earrings and nose rings, that were visible to everybody else. But they were all lumped in together over here. So why were they all lumped in together? Why don't we separate them out? So lo malach, to teach us, call him istako bi ebsa kitana shalisho kil mistako b'mokam atorev, then it makes no difference. If you're looking with a prurient type of a look, istakel doesn't mean just to take a glance, it means to stare. And the difference between Riyah and istaklus is, you guys walking on the street, my Rabbi Mavis told me, you're walking on the street and you see a half a dressed woman on the street, so what do? You just turn the corner. How could you not see that? You don't want to bump into her. It's when you go back and turn around and take the second look, that's when you're in trouble. That's the Isser. So, histaklus and Riyah. Histaklus means to take a look, to look it for a purian pleasure. So that's not allowed, even over here, be'etzba ketana, which is much less than a tefach, right? Four etzbos, and that's the thumb, is a tefach. Here, the etzba ketana is less than even one-fourth. It's one-sixth of a tefach. It's six thumbs is a tefach. So even one-sixth of a tefach, you're not allowed to look at it. If you look at it with prurient eyes. So therefore, how can you tell me you need a tefach? It's much less than that. As anytime you're looking at a woman with improper thoughts, so you're not allowed to do that. So Gemara says, you're right. Elab ishto, it's talking about with your wife. So you're allowed to look at your wife. Again, this is talking about the days that your wife is mutter to you. When the days your wife is not mutter to you, you're not allowed to look at her. So the din over here is that then you couldn't daven kriyashma if a tefach is revealed. Then you have to turn away, tefach b'isha erva. Ula kriyashma, this is talking about for saying kriyashma, you can't say kriyashma if a tefach of her body is uncovered. Aruchis, the shok b'isha erva, the thigh. That's how we normally translate shok, but many do not translate this over here as thigh. They translate it between the ankle and the knee. And this is one of the major machlokas in over here. We'll see that the shok and the nisha is an erva, so that means that there are certain, as I always like to call it, objective and subjective levels of tznius. So, if you live on, Shach Shlita uses the expression, if you live on a nudist colony, so you can't say, well, there's no such thing as erva because everybody walks around undressed all the time. So there's objective status of what is considered something that is normally covered up. Even though the society's gone crazy, they don't cover it up. But they're objective. So according to the opinion over here, that shok means between the knee to the thigh, so then that is normally something that's covered up. So no matter what society says, a woman has to keep her knees covered. From her knees and up, has to be covered. From the elbows and up, that's what the Chayyadah brings down. That's objective erva. Where society is allowed to say, what does society do? So then that, according to, if you have the definition of shok over here, it's from the knee and up. So then from the ankle to the knee, that's subjective. So in a society where they normally keep that covered, if it's uncovered, it's going to lead to hirhurim, so that's considered erva. But in a society where that is normally not kept covered, so then you're allowed to keep it uncovered without it being erva. A person can say kriyashma next to a woman in a society where they don't cover from the ankles to the knees and she's walking around without stockings or without any covering, he would be allowed to say kriyashma next to such a woman. And in a society where they do keep that covered, you wouldn't be allowed to because that's considered erva. So that's already subjective. So there's subjective tznius and there's objective tznius. So the objective tznius over here that we pass like by the Chayyadam and by others is from the knees and up. But there are societies where they pass it from the ankles and up. Call a kavod, every society to itself.
I said covering.
I said stockings, leggings, lavdafka, that you're wearing a head-to-foot burqa. That's not what the halacha demands either. Shenema, where do we get this from? Gali shalk, ivri naharos. Based upon that pasuk. Except furthermore, it says, sigal erbosech, and the vav is not in the pasuk, gan seiroeh cherposech. So again, we dashing out from these sukkim some of these ideas of what is objectively and versus subjectively considered erva. So therefore, the dress of a woman. Now, a lot of this is because of what would make a man have hirhurim. So therefore, a woman, Rishat the Shlita always brought down that a woman wearing a bikini would be allowed to, another woman next to her would be allowed to daven. Because the erev is not visible, and even though that's not something that's normally covered, but the whole idea over here is for hirhurim. So a woman next to another woman in a bikini would be allowed to say shema. But for a man, even if the woman is dressed more so than in a bikini, but if parts of a body that are normally covered up are not covered up, so then that would be not permissible to daven in that situation. So there's a difference, again, between a man and a woman.
Unless it's a very masculine woman.
Amar Shmuel, Kol B'Isha Erva, a woman who is over here singing. Now, Kol doesn't mean, according to the vast majority of poskim, talking. There's an opinion that says that, but that's not how we poskim. So singing, the voice of a woman is a beautiful voice. If she doesn't have a beautiful voice, we don't ever say that these dinim are applicable to how beautiful the woman is, how not beautiful the woman is. So the rules across the board, whether she would be considered a very pleasing looking or not such a pleasing looking woman, not such a nice voice, a beautiful voice, Kol B'Isha Erva. A woman singing is Erva. Again, these are huge discussions in halacha as to how they apply. Shenemar, Kikol Chorev, Umar and Ove. Again, we see that this is considered something very pleasing. On her sheishes, Sar B'Isha Erva. Her hair on her head is considered Erva. Now, this is for a married woman. We don't paskin like this for a non-married woman. And this is based upon the pasuk as well. Shenemar, Sorech Ke'eder Ha'izim. Certainly based upon the first part of the pasuk over there. The first part of the pasuk talks about Hinoch Yofer Rayosi. So this again is a raya to the concept that Sarbi Sherba. This is the requirement for a married woman to cover her hair. Now the Aruch HaShulchan brings down a huge kula in terms of kriyashma. He doesn't bring down a kula in terms of covering the hair. But he says, unfortunately, already in his time, that many married women did not cover their hair. And therefore, he says, you're allowed to say kriyashma. When something has become to the point where it's considered routine, it doesn't mean that it's allowed. But the din of taiva, it wouldn't be the same. And therefore, you're allowed to say kriyashma. You walk into a shul and you can see the women. They're in a perfectly halachically acceptable mechitza according to Rav Moshe Feinstein. You're allowed to see the women. They just have to be in a kosher mechitza, like in a balcony, like in our shul over here. So you can see the women. So the Satmar Rav Zatzal would say that that's not a kosher mechitza. But Rav Moshe says our shul has 100% a kosher mechitza. So you can see the women. So if you have women that are married and aren't covering their hair, so our Gemara would seem to suggest that you wouldn't be allowed to daven. You have to always look down. You're not allowed to look up. So the answer is no. The Aruch HaShulchan gives a huge heter over here that says, unfortunately, this is a common enough thing that it's not considered that you can't say Kriyeshba. But again, people misquote the Aruch HaShulchan and say he says you're allowed to, and that's certainly not true. Again, we can spend hours and hours and hours on every line over here, but unfortunately, we have to go vaita. I'm very, very far behind. I'll take your question afterwards, Mel, okay? Ari Chanina, Ani Reisiyas Rebbe, Shetola Tfilov. Now we go to a new discussion about hanging the tefillin. So I saw my Rebbe, hang the tefillin. He was holding them from the Ritzuos and hanging them. Now, Gemara says, Mesa, you're not allowed to do that. Hatola tefilov, yitzlu chayav. If a person goes and hangs his tefillin, that's a very bizoyandic way. And as Rashi says over here, yitlu chayav, it's like you're hanging a tefillin, you should be hung. So it's not a proper way. So how can you say the Rebbe did this? So Gemara says, Darshi Chamur, the Darshi Chamur is the Rabbanim that go deep into various involved sugyas over here. Rashi says that this is like a certain types of knots over here, that are depths that you have to unravel them. And in any event, it means people that learn in great depth over here. So he says that they say, so that's the support that you're not allowed to hang your tefillin up. You have to treat your tefillin with respect. And hanging your tefillin is not a way to treat them with respect. So Gemara says, how could Rebbe do this? Gemara says, lo kasha. Chas v'shom, the Rebbe did something wrong. It depends what you're holding. If you're holding your tefillin by the box with the parshios in and the straps hang down, that's okay. If you're holding your tefillin by the straps and the box is hanging down, that's not okay. So when he said that Rabbi held them, his tefillin, he hung the tefillin, he was holding them by the hand, and the straps were hanging, that's allowed. To hold them the other way around, that Rabbi wouldn't have done, and that's what it says, tolu chayecha, that's not allowed.
I didn't get this. How is it okay?
If you're holding it by the tefillin. No, you're holding the tefillin. You're walking with the tefillin.
Right.
And you're holding them.
Right.
So if you're holding the box, so then even though the straps hang around, you don't have to hold the whole box and the straps in your hand. That's okay if the straps are hanging down. But to grab the straps and have the box hanging down, the ketzitz hanging down, that's not allowed. The Bai saying, well, alternatively, loshno ritzuv, loshno ketzitz, also. No, you're not going to let him hang. Period. End of the discussion. So how could Rebbe do this? He told the Rebbe, b'chizis otol. Oh, Rebbe hung his tefillin up on a hook in the bag. So your tefillin had the zipper on them. The zipper has a hole in it, and he put the hole in a nail on the wall, and that's how he hung his tefillin. That's allowed. That's not a derech bizoyon. But to hold even the tefillin by the box and have the straps hang down, that's not correct. Gemara says, Iyachim alimemra. So then, duh, what's the chiddush? Who would have thought that there's anything wrong with that? Gemara says, no, I might have thought. Mal detema, tibay anocha k'sefer Torah. A sefer Torah you're not allowed to have hanging. You can't hook the sefer Torah up to something and keep it hanging. You have to lie it down or stand it up in the Aron Kodesh. You have to treat it with respect. It has to have hanocha. You're not allowed to keep the Sefer Torah hanging. So I might have thought a tefillin is also very kadosh. And it also can't be hanging. No, the tefillin are allowed to be hanging. That's not a problem. So the post can bring down over here, Mishnah Berurah says, you're not allowed to hang your Sefer Torah in the Aron. Let's say you want to keep it, you want to have more Sefer Torah there. So some you'll attach in some sort of a way. Hanging, no, it has to be hanoch. It has to be either lying down or it has to be on the yad. It has to be physically on the yad. You can't have a Sefer Torah hanging, even in the Aron Kodesh. Rabbi Chanina, says, and here he sees Rabbi, he just had a tefillin, he saw Rabbi, so he was telling us practices of Rabbi that we can learn halach l'maisa from. So he said, I myself saw Rabbi do all of these things, which is what I was going to say in a moment, are not allowed to be done. And we'll have to reconcile each one. So the first thing that he said he saw Rabbi was, I saw Rabbi over here, shegihek. Rashi says he belched. Right? He belts in the davening. Ufiyik, he yawned in the davening. Nisatesh. Nisatesh could mean a sneeze or it could mean that he passed gas. So here it means sneezing. We'll see in a moment. We'll have a discussion. The rock, and he also spit, and he would go and check out his clothing over here to see if there were any lice in the clothing and then remove them. Tosus has a different explanation over here, and he says, Avaloya misatev. Rashi has this as a separate thing over here. If his talus fell off, he wouldn't put it back on in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Again, it's all talking about during the Shemoneh Esrei. It's all during the davening, which is the Shemoneh Esrei. So if his talus fell off, he wouldn't go and get it. He felt that was a hefsek. He would adjust it. Tosa says these two go together. He would go over here and make sure that his talus didn't fall off. Tosa says, Rabbeinu Chanan says, chodomil. See, it's not two things. He says, memashbe b'rigdo, tikin shalo tipo me'al rosho. He would make sure his talus didn't fall off his head. See a rye over here that according to many, you have to wear your talus over your head for Shemoneh Esrei. In any event, if it fell off from his head, lo yimasati, then he wouldn't put it back on. He felt that that was half soccer. So he would adjust it so it wouldn't fall off. But if it did fall off, he didn't put it back on. So Tosas, Rabbeinu Chananel, have this over here. It's one idea. Rashi has this as two ideas. Finally, the last one. Ukishuhu mefaik, when he would yawn, hayamaniach yodo asentor, where he put his hand on his chin. Rashi says he covered up his face, but he put his hand on his chin, covered up his mouth over here. So it's pasnish, even polite company today, if you yawn, you cover your mouth. It's a pasnish, everybody should see inside your tonsils. The doctor has to go look inside to see what your tonsils look like, but nobody else has to. So you cover it up. So these are all the practices that he saw Rebbe had. Now we're going to say everyone is against the halacha. So we'll have to reconcile what Rebbe did, of course. Nasir, the one says, Hamashmiya kolo, if somebody davens out loud, this one wasn't what Rebbe said, but this is the start of that price, and that's why we bring it down. So if somebody davens out loud, Hamashmiya kolo betiloso, hareza miktane amuna. What, God can't hear you? So don't daven out loud. What we'll say, because he's going to disturb somebody else. And this is halacha, certainly by Shemoneh Esrei. You're not supposed to say the Shemoneh Esrei out loud. We'll talk in a moment about whether the rest of the davening you're allowed to say out loud or not. Hamagvia kolo b'tefilah. So if you're davening out loud, harezem nidia sheker by the Baal, by Elyon Har Carmel. So he told him, you scream louder. Maybe your God's in the bathroom. Maybe your God's sleeping. Maybe he's out on the shpatzir. So they would yell and yell and yell and yell in the davening. We don't do that. Shemoneh Esrei is a stiller Shemoneh Esrei. It's a silent Shemoneh Esrei. You're not allowed to say the Shemoneh Esrei out loud. We'll see whether that applies to other parts of the davening as well in a moment. Then. That's the introduction to this brisa with all the practices of the Rebbe. We'll come back and discuss this, but first let's get to the practice of the Rebbe. It says, Megayu Mahat Mafaik, if somebody belches or somebody yawns, Harezu Megasi Aruch. You're an arrogant person if you do that. An arrogant person, he belches, right? He yawns, right? So that's not right. Hamisatesh mitvilaso simin ralo. If a person nahir mitashesh, we're going to see, we're going to translate this as a simin ralo, it means that he passes gas. But right now, we're assuming that it means sneezes, because Rabbi sneezed. So all of these things, it seems to say that you're not allowed to do them. You're not allowed to belch, you're not allowed to yawn, you're not allowed to sneeze. Such a person is a disgusting person if he does these things. These are all we would say that you don't do them in polite company. A rock between loss. If somebody spits in his davening, and kilu rock between their milk, it's like you're spitting in front of the king. You should have cleared your mouth before the davening. So these are all the things you're not allowed to do. But Rebbe did every one. So what's going on? So Gemara says Mishlama megayagum avayik, belching and yawning lokasha. There's no steer with what Rebbe did and what the Bryce says don't do. Kanli own so kanli ritzono. When Rebbe did it, sometimes a belch comes up. You can't control it. It just came out of you. Excuse me, right? But the people that got belch on command, so that you're not allowed to do. And likewise a yawn. There's some people that create a yawn in the sun. They want to stretch, so they yawn. You make a yawn, so that you're not allowed to do. But if a yawn comes on you, what can you do? Right? If somebody else yawns next to you, you're going to yawn yourself as well. That's the, that's a very common thing. So you weren't able to control yourself. So that's okay. And that's what the two things. He's what Rebbe do. It's not that Rebbe did him every day. He was a Talmud of Rebbe for who knows how many years. So over the 20 years that he was a Talmud of his Rebbe, so he saw his Rebbe do this once. He's telling us that this is okay because la'on so, it's not a problem. Elo, misatesh, misatesh kasha. So how do you say sneezing? Rebbe did it, and then the Bryce says it's no good. So what it says also, misatesh, misatesh, nami lo kasha, because there's two different types of sneezes over here. So kan milamala, sneezing is okay. Kan milamata, passing gas, which is also a lashon of itush, so that's not acceptable. One of the strongest things a person's supposed to do, so we don't wear tefillin when you take a nap, is because you may come to pass gas. It's a totally inappropriate thing to pass gas while you're wearing tefillin. Dharma of Zera. The following thing, I just have the gear so you boil it. I asked in the house of Rabbi Nuna, it seems to Rashi that he had an allergy and he was constantly sneezing. And therefore he said, when I found out the answer to this, the takilili kikule tamudoi. And this was the greatest thing I ever learned. Because Mr. Tom, he had an allergy over here, and he was constantly sneezing. He had hay fever. And he was constantly sneezing. And then he heard this vart over here that sneezing is good for you. That's a good simen for you, not a simen ra. If you sneeze in your davening, that's actually a good sign for a person. So he says, why? To make you feel comfortable. A person who has a sneeze and he lets it out, he feels very good. It's a sensation that's very annoying, and then you sneeze, you feel better. So to say, in Shemayim, they did you a favor, and they made you feel comfortable, so that's a good simen. So your tefillahs will be accepted. You have a nachas ruch in Shemayim. So therefore, a sneeze is not considered a bad thing. So he heard this. He was sneezing constantly. He had hay fever, so he felt this was the greatest thing in the world. Okay, and that's how you reconcile. When Rebbe sneezed, that's what it was. Passing gas. They never saw Rebbe pass gas. That never would have happened, and that, in fact, is a simon rallo. We'll see in a moment, the deen, if a person does have passing gas during davening, you're allowed to move into Shemoneh Esrei away from the area of the foul smelling. El Rock, I rock Kasha. How can Rebbe spit when we said you're not supposed to spit? It's possible to spit in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Gemara says, Rock, I rock, Nami lo Kasha. That's also not a problem. It depends. Efshar kid Rav Yehuda. It could be that he did like Rav Yehuda. Dom Rav Yehuda, Haya Omid the Tfilah, it is Nami lo Rock. If a person is, he cleared his mouth out, but he has a lot of saliva. And now in the middle of davening, he has a lot of saliva in his mouth. He can't daven it, so he can't concentrate. So what should you do? Mavlio betaliso. You're allowed to go take your talis, lav dafki your talis, it means your garment, and go and put the saliva into the garment. No, you're wearing a nice garment. You're wearing a fancy tuxedo, and you don't want to do this. Im talis noel, he's wearing a very fine garment. Mavlio b'afikusaso, you can go put in your kerchief. They had some sort of a kerchief that they'd wear, so you could spit it into your kerchief. You're not doing it into your fancy shirt, or your jacket. You're doing it into your kerchief, like a hanky, right? Ravina have a koachori. He would spit behind himself. A koachori. The Ravashi is down in the rope. Poski lachori. He would also go. Ravino Havikah Chori the Ravashi. He was once behind Ravashi, and his diamond looked rogue. He said he had rogue, and Paskil Chori, and he spit it out behind him. So Gemara says, Amalei, Lo Sava Lomar, Loha the Rav Yehuda, Mavlio Barfa Kasuso. Why didn't you go spit it into your hanky, into your garment? He says, Amalei, I know Anino Daiti. I'm an istinus. I'm a very delicate person, and I couldn't live having this scarf around my neck, having saliva in it. So therefore, when EF Shar, you don't have a choice, you're allowed to even spit behind him. So however Rebbe did it, Rebbe would either be an istinus and he spit behind himself, because Rashi brought down he spit on the floor, or you could spit into your clothing. But it's if you just spit in front of you, so that's pasnish. That's considered that you're very chutzpahdik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But throw your saliva behind you, so that would be allowed. But again, one should try to do this all, take care of this all before davening. Now we get back to the last thing, which was the start of the Braisa. Hamashmiya called it Zilasa Reza Miktani Amuna. If you're davin screaming out loud, you can sing from Ktani Amuna. Only time you have to daven silently is if you can't do it with kavana. But if a person, avol, ain yochel lechavin eslibo, if you're not able to be mechavin eslibo belachash, then mutter, then you can say Yishmon Esrei out loud. However, the one says, hani mili biyochel, that's only if you're davening in your house by yourself. Avol betzibur, osi lemitra tziburi, you're not allowed to go daven Yishmon Esrei out loud. Sometimes a person standing next to you, daven Yishmon Esrei so loud, so that's not right. He's davening great kavana, but he's making you daven less kavana. And I want to read you what the Magid Taluma says. The Beis Yosef brings down the Magid Taluma, and he says, Lo yicholim adam mitzvilos, shelo yichavin adam mitzviloso, v'lo yaseh dover shegorein bitu kavanas atvila to somebody else. You're not allowed to make your davening better at the expense of somebody else's davening being worse. So many suggest this is true for the rest of davening as well. If you're screaming out davening, so again, you go to a shul where the minog is that they scream, you can't complain. That's the minog of the shul. But a shul that's normally quiet and a guy comes in and he's used to davening, screaming out loud, so he's disturbing other people. So he says, my kavanah will be better. So the answer is, you're not allowed to make your kavanah good at somebody else's expense. And therefore, a person has to be constantly aware that you can't go and daven at the expense of somebody else. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Mitzvah Shem will catch up a little bit that we're behind. Everybody should have a wonderful Chodesh. Again, we learned today for a special Refuah Shleima, if somebody undergoing a major surgical procedure, they should have Refuah Shleima for Tema Beila, Tema Rivka Bas Beila Yacht. Have a wonderful day, everybody.